Christmas is a wonderful time. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in those Christmas carols. And this is one of those times of year I really enjoy singing those hymns that we've grown up with. And well, I have been going through a Christmas series that I've titled, What's Your Story? And we've been looking at some of the characters found in the Christmas story. We've looked at Zachariah and Elizabeth. We have looked at Joseph last week. And today we're going to be looking at Mary. All of them have stories. Stories of faith, stories of struggles, and even failures. But each of their stories connect with the life and the story of Jesus Christ. You know, our stories, yours and mine, might be filled with blessings and likely also some failures and struggles too. Our stories need to connect with Christ. Our stories need to intersect with Christ's story and then follow His. Because if Jesus is not affecting your story, then you're simply wandering. If Jesus isn't affecting your story, then you're wandering. What I have found interesting through this series is that God has a plan and a purpose. Without Zechariah and Elizabeth, there wouldn't have been John the Baptist to prepare the way. Without Joseph, Jesus' lineage would have been impacted because we saw that all the prophecy talked about the coming king that would reign forever would come from the line of David. Joseph's lineage was important. Joseph was God's choice to raise Jesus as his father. They each had an important role, just as we will see today with Mary. But at the same time, God is working through us to accomplish His plan and purpose. When our lives are impacted by Christ, we simply cannot sit back and say, there is nothing for me or God has no purpose for me. We cannot say that. And I would challenge you, and I really mean it, I challenge you to spend time in God's Word, the Bible. Spend time in His Word and spend time in prayer and seek what God has for you if you don't know where you fit in His kingdom here and now. I'll talk about this a little bit later. We're going to talk about our purpose and place as farther in the message. But let's begin looking at the story of Mary. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angels went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." We start with Mary's story. This is starting 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy. That's why at the very beginning of verse 26 it says in the sixth month. So that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And if you recall, the angel Gabriel was sent to speak to Zechariah earlier on to announce that his wife, Elizabeth, would be, who was well along in years, would become pregnant. But here we now see Gabriel being sent to Nazareth. And I get kind of a chuckle when that verse 26 says that angel Gabriel was sent to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. As if Nazareth was such a small town, they had to let you know where that was at. We in Jump River know a little something about small towns. Most often you have to give another reference point when you say, I'm from Jump River, and usually they give you a blank look. And then you go, Ladysmith, Eau Claire? Usually you get them at Eau Claire. But anyways, we know a little something about that. Anyways, Gabriel is sent to Mary, who were explicitly told was a virgin, and that she was pledged to be married to Joseph. And I'm sure she was a little shocked by the angel Gabriel appearing. But we're told that she is a little troubled by the greeting. He says to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Well, what does that mean? Some might tell you, some people might tell you that she is highly favored because of something that she has done or not done. There are some groups who would say that would tell you that she was highly favored because she was without sin. Some might say that. Unfortunately, Scripture doesn't hold that teaching at all. In fact, there's only one person in Scripture who is ever referenced to be without sin, and that is Jesus Christ, Him alone. No one else is good. Jesus alone. So many people want to elevate Mary to almost being godlike, but that is not the case in this Scripture and is actually counter-Scripture altogether. And I think that she was troubled by Gabriel's greeting because she knew she was no different than others. Now, I ask the kids to imagine something. I want you to imagine something. Imagine yourself a teenager from a little small town like Jump River, not too far from Ladysmith. You have your good days and you have your bad days. You're engaged, so you're feeling a little more independent, but still respectful of your parents most of the time. You don't always make the right choices, and you've made some mistakes along the way, but life is just moving along. Then out of a blue, an angel shows himself. Maybe you're a little dirty from washing laundry by hand. Maybe you've been grinding wheat to make flour for bread, and you're kind of a mess. Or maybe you're just a mess from a long day's work, and this angel, who has shocked you by his appearance, says, "Greetings, highly favored one. The Lord is with you." I wonder, did she turn her head looking around to see if he was speaking to someone else? Was he really talking to her? If it were not the fact that it was an angel speaking, would she have been tempted to laugh? "Greetings, highly favored one." See, the angel, he appeared to her. She's a simple, ordinary teen. What makes her highly favored? The angel Gabriel gives us a reason why she is favored right after he tells her, "You're highly favored because God is with her." The favor has nothing to do with Mary, but everything to do with God. Yet many people struggle with this because all of us want to think that she was much better than all of us. I mean, we want to think that because she is the mother of Jesus. She has to be much better than me. Our tendency, or maybe our temptation, is to think of her as being almost godlike. But she was as ordinary as they come. But what she did have was faith. She trusted God. She had a holy reverence for Him and a willing heart to serve Him. That's what she had. She had faith. Her favor came from God's presence in her life, and Gabriel reaffirms this in what he tells her next in verse 30. Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. First, he tells her, don't be afraid, and then he says, you found favor with God. He says it again, and we see that it was found, being found. When you find something that you're not looking for, have you earned it? Have you worked for it? No. The interesting thing is that word favor in Greek is also translated as grace. What I'm getting at is Mary's favor or Mary's grace is a result of what God has done. Mary is a recipient of God's grace, not a bestower or giver of grace. So Mary's story, what we are seeing here is that God has chosen Mary. He has given her a purpose in His overall plan. Let's read on in our scripture, verses 31. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. This is what the angel is continuing to tell Mary about her son. Mary will be with a child. She'll give birth to a son and her to name him Jesus. Son of the Most High. Most High is another name for God. Jesus is the Son of the true God, the God Most High. Yahweh God. Jesus will rule on the throne and reign forever. And did Mary fully understand what the angel was telling her? I don't know if she really had time to process what she was being told. We know later on she understood some of what was happening. But in this moment after Gabriel told her she would be with child, Mary only had one concern. And that's verse 34. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? Now, Mary has a legitimate question about how she'll be pregnant. Something that really stuck out to me this year in my study was Mary is engaged, so within a year or less, she's going to be married to Joseph. And children and pregnancy will happen in the future. But what we see by her question is that she understands that she is going to be with a child soon. And she'll be pregnant before being married to Joseph. She's not doubting or disbelieving what the angel is telling her. She's actually doing just the opposite. She believes what she's being told. She just doesn't know how a pregnancy can happen without Joseph. The angel Gabriel is kind enough to tell her the answer to her question in verses 35 through 37. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." God is going to do a miracle with Mary. And I think I made the statement last Sunday, pregnancy doesn't just happen. If Mary is to be pregnant as a virgin, God's power will shine through. What is humanly impossible is entirely possible with God. This is not just once. The angel tells Mary that Elizabeth is already 6 months along. Mary will be pregnant soon. It's miracle after miracle that we're seeing here. I love Mary's response in verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. This is where Mary's story really, really impacts our stories, if we allow it to. This is a powerful example for us to look at. As I've already said, Mary was an ordinary person whom God desired to have a part of His plan. The angel gives Mary the news that she will have a baby and this baby will be the Son of God. She has faith in God and believes what is being told to her. Her response, "I am your servant, may it be to me as you have said." In other words, "I am your servant, let your will be done. Let your will be done." But what about the details? For us, we want details, right? What about Joseph? What's he going to say or think? What about others who think that she is pregnant? What will those others think? What does raising the Son of God look like? I mean, we can ask questions upon questions, right? So often when we feel God asking us to follow Him, He only gives us enough to take one step at a time. We don't see the whole picture. Yet for many, they struggle to follow God's lead because there's so much unknown. I think in Mary's case, there are many difficulties that she'll face. But her trust was put in the Lord. The angel Gabriel spoke to her what God was going to do, and in humility she simply says, "I am your servant. Let your will be done." We know from last week at looking at Joseph that he was going to divorce Mary. Luke's gospel doesn't share with us how Mary took it. See, Luke takes Mary's point of view, where Matthew was from Joseph's point of view. Luke doesn't mention or share with us how Mary took it. We don't know a lot of those details, but there are many times when we are following Jesus that we run into struggles. We are left looking to God saying, "I'm your servant, I'm doing what you want me to do, yet here I am, struggling, hurting, scared of what the future holds." Maybe Mary was easygoing. She just took things in stride and simply trusted God. And I know there are people like that. Good for you. It's not me. But I know there's people that just take it in stride. Well, I'm following God. Whatever happens, happens. People wound up like me struggle. If Joseph would leave her, if Joseph would leave Mary, then she would continue to trust God, as painful as that would be. If her family, Mary's family, were to reject her because they believe she committed adultery, she would continue to trust God. When the gossip circulates and she's torn down by people's words, she would continue to trust God. But it's hard. People struggled trusting in the difficult times. You are doing what God wants you to do, but you feel like the world is kind of crashing down. But something we learn from Mary is to stay faithful no matter what God is asking of you, or maybe you're waiting for direction. Stay faithful. Keep the attitude, "God, let your will be done, and if, as I, your servant, can be a part of what you're doing, then here I am, use me." Sometimes God's will doesn't look like what we want it to look like. We want this to happen, but instead something else is happening, and we simply have to keep trusting God. and hold the attitude that, God, if I can be used as your servant, use me. The prophet Isaiah had an attitude like that in Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here I am. Send me. Scripture tells us that faithfulness is important, and something that we all can do is share our faith in Jesus Christ with others. That's something all of us can do. And there's much more I could preach on, but as my time is running out, I want to read just a little more. Mary goes and visits Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says something in verse 45 I wanted to read. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Elizabeth recognized that there was a blessing, that Mary was blessed, not because of some specific thing, but it was her faith that was important. She was blessed because of her faith and trust in the Lord. Mary knows this and is filled with joy and praises God. And you see that if you were to read on. God has a purpose for each of us. Jesus was given to Mary to care for, birth, and raise. Yet Jesus was not sent just for Mary. Because of God's grace and mercy, because of God's great love for us, He sent Jesus for all of us. John 3:16, what I read for the kids, I'll read again. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Yes, Mary had a special blessing to Mother Jesus, but the blessing of Jesus' presence was not just for her, it's for all of us. Does your story, or will your story, include Jesus in it? Does your story, or will your story, include faithfulness in all circumstances and a servant heart attitude? Jesus, if I can serve you, here I am. Maybe it's different than, maybe it should be just, Jesus, I'm your servant. I'll do whatever you ask. Will you say yes to Him? There is a special blessing to all who surrender to Christ in every facet of their lives. Sometimes not knowing the details, but still being surrendered.